thanks to Gabrielle and Eden, and for the reminder and the fit reminder, the fact that Jesus is the Lamb of God. We want to commence this new year on a right footing. ...2024... I don't know what that might have been like for you, but I know that for many of us, it was a mixed bag. The truth is, if you want to follow Jesus, you've put yourself up as a target. Are you hearing me? When you decide to follow Jesus, you are putting yourself up. Your picture is up on Satan's wall. Mm-hmm. 2024 may have been for us a mixed bag. 2025, we do not know what it's going to bring. We have no idea what is coming. All that I know is that we are 1 year closer. Jesus is coming. And what he desires is that Jesus will be found in me. In me. That's the title of the message today. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for this worship hour. And we thank you that your presence is here. We know it. We sense it. And Father, as we gather here today, Lord, it is our desire that your name be exalted, that only you be lifted up, that your name be honored and glorified. Your name will be praised, that we will be drawn closer to you. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you for the scripture reading. Thank you for the ministry and song. Thank you for every worshiper bowed in your presence here. We only pray that, Father, you will speak to our hearts. We haven't come here, Lord, to play any games. We're serious. We want to be serious. Make yourself known among us for thy name's sake. Amen. Jesus in me. The saying goes, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. This phrase goes back over 200 years, originating in France with the French gastronomist Jean Anthelm, I'm going to try and pronounce this right, Brillat Savarin. I hope I did justice there. I I hope I did justice. He said the following. He actually said the following. Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. This was followed up later by the German Ludwig Andreas Feuerbach, who wrote the following. Man is what he eats. Now, I'm not going into the health message here today. That's for another sermon. But you'll see where I'm going. These phrases intend to convey that our physical and mental well-being is influenced by the food you consume. Put it another way. You are molded by what you ingest and what you imbibe. Or the food that you eat has a bearing on your state of mind and health. This principle is not exclusive to food alone, but applies to everything and anything that we allow into our lives. You are what you behold. You become what you spend time with. In our text, Jesus is called by many names, but there is one name that is associated with food. One name associated with food. And I'm not talking about lamb, just in case your mind might go there. I'm not talking about lamb. Associated with food. Jesus refers to himself by this food in John chapter 6 and verse 35. And here the Bible says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus doesn't say that I am the ackee of life. He doesn't say I am the plum of life or the apple of life. He doesn't say that I am the chicken of life or the tomato of life, or the herb of life, but the bread of life, which is synonymous with his use of the word flesh in our text. But what does Jesus mean when he says that I am the bread of life? What does Jesus mean? Bread, my brothers and sisters, is the staple food of life. Meaning, a food that is eaten regularly. A food that is an important part of someone's daily diet. A food that is the basic sustenance of life. Bread is available in every country of the world. If your language is French, it is du pain. If you are from the Philippines, it is tinapay. Have I got that right? Ah, good. If you speak Polish, it is chleb. If you speak Swahili, it is mkate. Jesus is
the staple food of life. Jesus is the food that should be regularly eaten. He is the important part of the daily diet. Jesus is the necessary basic sustenance of life. And he is available to you no matter who you are or where you come from.
So Jesus invites you to eat of him daily, as you would customarily eat bread daily. Then Jesus said that we must also drink his blood. Of course, we know in the passage, eating his flesh and drinking his blood was a strange thing that fell hard on the ears of his listeners, to the extent that when we come to the end of chapter 6, Jesus lost a major portion of his audience. So what is it that Jesus means? Because Jesus says, you must not only eat my flesh, which here we are seeing is the bread of life. We take him into ourselves, but he says that we must also drink his blood. Now, in the mind of a Jew, blood stands for what? Life. And a Jew would never, even to this day, eat any unclean meat that has blood in it, unless it goes through what process? The kosher process. Unless the blood is completely and utterly drained from the flesh. You see, this was clearly commanded by God himself in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 4, and was further conveyed by Moses himself in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 23. Here I read, Genesis 9, 4, God speaking here, saying, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So any meat that has is called rare or medium rare. Jesus says, you don't eat meat with blood in it. Then through Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 23, again, it only confirms Moses saying, only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof. Thou shalt do what with it? Pour it upon the ground as what? Water. So why is it that Jesus is saying in the scriptures, drink my blood? What does he mean to his hearers when he says this? Because blood is life. And unless you receive that into your life, that is the life of Christ I'm talking about, Jesus clearly states in verse 53 of the same chapter, you will have no life in you except you eat his flesh and drink his blood. You have no life in you. So without Jesus in me, there is no life. There is no life.
That is why, my brothers and sisters, Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross, because his blood brings cleansing from sin. His life brings eternal life. And when Jesus said that we must drink his blood, he meant that we must take his life into the very core of our hearts. I remember the words of the song that says, the blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. For it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. The second verse says, it soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. So when we participate of the emblems during our communion service today, we are symbolically eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Those who feed on him will live forever, because he partakes of the Father's life. And when we partake of the Father's life, not only at our communion service, but also in daily prayer, the reading of his life-giving word, and through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, we will have Jesus in us. As the saying goes, you are what you eat. Let us therefore, brethren, let us this year determine in our hearts that we are going to imbibe Jesus. We are going to ingest Jesus. Who knows whether this year will usher us into the closing scenes of Earth's history? Do we not realize that the signs are all before us? If you don't see it, you're blind. The signs are before us, telling us that Jesus is coming sooner than we believe. And when he comes, I pray that he will find Jesus in me, Jesus in you.